dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned once again for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. This is your hometown radio station right there in Madison, North Florida, South Georgia, and this is your radio station if you are listening to this broadcast by computer on the World Wide Web, anywhere in the United States, anywhere on the globe. Praise God. We're happy to have you with us today. In this time of tumult and turmoil and trouble, we want to bring you some good news. You know, the Bible said what we're going to read from the Scripture today, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times, my friends, are here like they have never been in any other generation like they are in our generation. It marks our generation as a generation, I believe, that is living in the last of the last days. I believe the coming of Jesus Christ is very, very near. So we want to bring you a message of instruction and hope of how to live our lives with hope and anticipation instead of fear and trepidation. Hallelujah. In these very last of the last days, we're talking about the power of godliness, living victorious in the last days. Our text for this study is 2 Timothy in the New Covenant, the New Testament, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We're going to read in just a few moments. While you're turning there, I would like to invite you to come to our website. If you would like to, just type in THCOG. That's THCOG. Google it on any good search engine. It will take you to the Holy Church of God Incorporated right here in Tampa, Florida. And we would be so glad if you would come and visit our website. There are recent, and I understand now through our web minister that there are all of the teachings from the radio broadcast are available. There's free, there's no charge, there's podcast. You can download to an MP3 player. You can listen live from our website. So if you've missed one of these teachings on these subjects, you can find it there. And you can also find sermons that span going on 41 years as senior pastor here at the Holy Church of God in Tampa, Florida. Amen. So we invite you to come. If you're not a Christian today, please don't turn the dial. I believe that in your heart of hearts that you know that the world isn't going to continue on the course that it's in. Something is bound to happen, and I want to declare to you something is going to happen, and that something involves the coming of Jesus Christ to rule and to reign, and the coming of Jesus Christ for His church, His bride, His people. So we just pray that you will be blessed today by this teaching, that you will be informed, you will be inspired, and if you don't know Jesus Christ, that you will come to know Him, and you will find the consolation and the courage to live in these days with hope in your heart and help in your life. Praise God. Amen. Well, let's read the Scripture today on the subject, the power of godliness, living victorious in the last days. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5 reads, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." I'm going to read again from the Amplified to do what the Amplified New Testament does. Take those phrases from their original Greek and Hebrew meanings, in this case the Greek meaning of these words, and bring it out clearly in the English for us. Listen to it. "For although they hold a form of piety, true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people. turn away from them. See, friends, Titus 1 and verse 16 in the New Testament says, of these folks who have this form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. It says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being unto every good work abominable and reprobate. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being unto every good work abominable and reprobate. See, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. That lest any man should boast, we're saved through faith. By grace you are saved. Through faith it is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But the next verse says, for we are created unto good works. When you get saved, we're no more the servant of Satan. We're no more the servant of sin, the children of darkness. We've been translated, the scripture says, out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. There's a bent toward righteousness now in our hearts, and then it transmits out into our daily lives. There is corresponding works to show that we have been changed within, and it's being expressed without. That's why I like this. The rest of these verses in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 14, it said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Grace is not to cover up for ungodliness. It teaches us to live right before God. It gives us that bent toward it and the power to do it. You know, the scripture said it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God reveals His will to us that we might come into agreement with it and come into a spirit of obedience to it instead of disobedience and rebellion. The Bible speaks of Satan as that spirit that works right now in the children of disobedience. But we are not the children of the darkness. We have become children of the light. We are certainly not sinlessly perfect, but we are definitely not just abject sinful people with no regard for God, His Word, His will for our life. When Jesus Christ comes in, He begins to change that heart. As it is written, He said, I will take away that heart of stone and I will replace it with a heart of flesh, a heart that is softened, a heart with the will and intent to obey. We may struggle with the obeying part, but one thing a true Christian doesn't struggle with, and that is that God should be the one that we are following, that Jesus should be our example, that His Word should be taken to our heart and applied to our life. Praise God. Amen. I'll tell you, in times like this, in these last perilous, tough times, we can trust God to provide for us and protect us if we will live godly. What we will suffer for living godly is the persecution. And the persecution is very, very strong, and it's intensifying. There is an anger and an angst against those that live by a biblical standard and have a biblical spiritual worldview. Amen. And when we do that, we are lambasted and lampooned, but we are also embraced by the Lord and kept by God's power. I like to say to our congregation what I'll say to this listening congregation today. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God. There's nothing wrong with following Jesus. There's nothing wrong. This entire nation became great and strong and mighty and prosperous because it was founded upon Judeo-Christian ethic, taken from the Word of God. And God blessed America. And if America will return to God, God will bless America again. And how we need His blessing today. But whether the nation as a whole does that or not, every one of us has the choice to make. And if we choose, amen, to have our heart right with God, to do what is right in His sight, we will have everything we need to live in victory in these very dangerous times that we are living, to live with hope and anticipation, to not be afraid of all these things that are coming upon the earth. Psalm 112 gives us the characteristics of a righteous man and the resulting blessings, especially an unshaken peace in the time of trouble. I want to read it from Psalm 112 and verse 7. It said of that righteous man, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. In the Hebrew, that word for fixed is to be firm, to be stable, to be established. And trust in the Hebrew means to have confidence in, to be secure, to feel safe. Careless. Isn't that an incredible thing? To not carry that care upon our life that debilitates us, the worry that and the fear that cripples us from looking forward to the future with holy anticipation. Praise God. We used to sing the song that a verse says, there is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. Trust in Jesus and He will keep you in the shelter of His arms. See, being right with God, friend, is a stronghold in the time of trouble because we can trust Him with everything. Because the righteous person, a person who is right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the attitude of heart that is Godward instead of manward and is committed to follow Jesus Christ instead of the morals and mores of this world, he stands in a privileged place, producing a precious peace, resulting in spiritual joy that becomes our strength to endure the hardships, the persecutions, the temptations that would be common to every Christian in the last days in particular. See, Romans 14 and verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So there's a boldness in this privileged place, this right standing with God. Proverbs 28 and verse 1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Friends, today if you're a Christian and you have committed your life to follow Christ, I'm not saying there won't be a struggle. There will be a struggle. You'll be an upstream Christian in a downstream world. But you will know on the onset that through the blood of Jesus, we have a standing with God. We are His children, the sheep of His pasture, and the people of His hand, as the Scriptures declare. God is with us, and God is for us. We do not have to be strong in ourselves, nor adequate, nor resilient in ourselves. We have a privileged standing with God, and God will deliver us. Praise God. I want to tell you this beautiful story. There's peace in the time of trouble. There's power in godliness to live for the Lord and serve Him and be godly, Godward people. Gladys Alward, missionary to China, more than 50 years ago, was forced to flee when the Japanese invaded. But she could not leave her work behind. With only one assistant, she led more than 100 orphans over the mountains toward free China. In her book, The Hidden Price of Greatness, this is what happened, and I want to quote. During Gladys's harrowing journey out of war-torn Yangqing, she grappled with despair as never before. After passing a sleepless night, she faced the morning with no hope of reaching safety. A 13-year-old girl in the group reminded her of their much-loved story of Moses and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. "But I am not Moses," Gladys cried in desperation. "Of course you aren't," the girl said, "but Jehovah is still God." Hallelujah. When Gladys and the orphans made it through, they proved once again that no matter how inadequate we may feel, God is still God, and we can trust in Him. Hallelujah. Our trust is not in ourselves. It is in the Lord. That's why Psalm 112 and verse 8 said His heart is established. In what? In trusting in God. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Established in the Hebrew once again means to lean on, to lay upon, literally to lay upon, to rest upon, to lean against. When you're leaning on someone, when you're laying upon something, when you're resting upon and leaning against, it is no more your strength or my strength. It is that stability that comes through that we're looking to, laying upon and leaning upon. Remember, fixed meant established, to be firm, and to lean upon, to lay upon, and to rest upon. His heart is leaning on, resting upon, leaning against, and literally laying upon the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the heart firmly established in trust, leaning on God for support, in full confidence in His love and His faithfulness. We used to sing and still do on occasion, leaning on the everlasting arms. Praise God. Amen. I'm learning to lean. One of the songs of former years said, I'm learning to lean. Learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. The song writer so eloquently stated in one great Christian song of the faith, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed us yet. Oh, I won't turn back. I've come this far by faith. Friend, today remember, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. Praise God. You know, the Bible said that underneath in the Old Covenant are the everlasting arms. These arms of God are placed in a very clear sense where they are needed the most, and that's to undergird us, to lift us up, to give us what we do not possess in and of ourselves, and we don't need to because we're leaning on Him. We're looking to Him. And underneath you, supporting me, are the everlasting arms. Praise God. Amen. I want to read from Isaiah 54:11. This is when the gospel is turned. The covenant of God is not just exclusive anymore to Israel, but always to encompass all the Gentile nations as well. And that really came to total fruition in the new covenant. But in Isaiah 54:11, it says of the Gentile nations that are outside the covenant, that God wants to bring into the covenant that He has with Israel. Listen to it. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. Sound like beauty for ashes to me. Hallelujah. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness thou shalt be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, and thou shalt not fear. And from terror. You see, this is what marks our generation, is the threat and the fear of terrorism. For it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I've created the smith that bloweth the coals, and the fire that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. God has control over the enemy, his minions, his forces, and over all the enemies of the righteous. Verse 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Ah, friend, we have a privileged standing. God has promised protection. We need only to trust Him. See the progression from privileged standing to precious peace? Peace is such a precious jewel that I would give anything I had for it. But truth, Matthew Henry said, peace is such a precious jewel that I would give anything for it except for truth, according to Matthew Henry. What price peace in this world of trouble? Peace in your heart, peace with God, friend, always brings the peace of God into our hearts and into our lives. And that peace with God begins when we're reconciled to Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when that occurs, we have this wonderful, wonderful place in Him, this positional righteousness. And then when we begin to follow Christ, we have personal, practical righteousness. It's called godliness. We have a heart to obey. We have a heart to do. And by the way, having the heart to obey doesn't mean it's going to be easy, because we all still have a conflict between the will of our heart within and the desire of our flesh without. But thank God for the struggle. Thank God for the conflict of wills. That proves the change has occurred. Praise God. Amen. If any man be in Christ, the Scripture said, he is a new creation. See, he has that bent toward righteousness and not that bent toward evil. That bent toward righteousness means that we are seeking, according to Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4, if you be risen with Christ because of this new attitude, this new atmosphere within our life, praise God, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not the things of the earth. And verse 4, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. That means that part of us, that fleshly part of us that wants to go the way of the world, contrary to that heart that has been renewed and restored by the Spirit of the Lord. It's called spiritual regeneration in the Scripture. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's that taking out the heart of stone and replacing it with a heart of flesh, a soft and tender heart that desires to obey God. If you're struggling today with obedience to God, it's not because you're wicked and evil, it's because you're saved and being sanctified. Hallelujah. And God is your partner in that battle. He is there to help you live godly, to be an upstream Christian in a downstream world. Praise the Lord. And all of heaven's resources are yours, and they are mine in Jesus Christ today. We can live victorious in the last days, in the perilous time, when the persecutions are so strong and the temptations are so tantalizing, and the pressure to give in and go with the flow, and the pressure to give up and give up on God and give up on ourselves is intensified, there is a victory in Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says of grace that is sufficient, that when we need more of that grace, He giveth more grace. And there's occasion in the Scriptures when that grace was necessary. It said, and great grace was upon them all. God's sufficiency through grace is granted according to our need. And when our needs are greater, His grace is made even more available to us. Praise God. And by grace we are saved, and by grace we continue this walk. I love that great song, Amazing Grace, because I'm still amazed by God's wonderful grace. And it says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. It is grace that brought us safe thus far, and it is grace that will lead us home. And today, because of that amazing grace that saved us, and because of the grace that is right now available to you and to me, that strength that comes through His sufficiency, praise God, we can live for Him, we can serve Him, even in these very perilous times. And we can have peace in our hearts and peace in our minds. And I believe that's one of the distinctiveness of the kingdom of God within us and the true Christian church from the world about us, that there is peace even in this time of trouble. There is hopefulness. We look forward in anticipation, not to the end of the world, but we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, for our King is coming back very, very soon. Praise God. Friend of mine, if you don't know Jesus today, there's no place of safety in this world. The trouble that is upon the earth now is global. There's no place to move. There's no place to run. There's no place to hide. But there is a place of peace and confidence and consolation in Jesus Christ and in God the Father. If we come to God through faith in His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, our heart can become fixed, trusting in the Lord. Hallelujah. And I wouldn't trade this precious peace for all the kingdoms of this world. It can only come when you're thoroughly right with God and you know that God is with you through it all and that Jesus is coming very, very soon. I want to invite you today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, that you would repent of your sin. God knows all about it. That's why He sent His Son, because it's not His will that any should perish, but all have everlasting life. That's why Jesus came and went to the cross and stayed on the cross. He did it of His own volition. He did it because He looked past the cross and He saw you, He saw me, and millions of others that would be lost. Had not the price for sin's debt been paid at the cross and the penalty been suffered? He suffered the penalty in our place, paid the price that we might come to God by faith through Jesus Christ, receive Him as our Savior, and have our sins washed away, and have this peace and this joy and this hope that nothing in this whole world can quench or take away from us. So today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I pray right now that you will open your heart, that you will open your life, that you will accept Him, that you will receive Him, that you will pray right where you are right now, and that Jesus will come in. You know, He promised, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And He doesn't just knock, He calls you by name. He calls you personally. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me." Do you hear Him calling you? Is He knocking on your heart's door? Open that door. Invite Jesus in. Confess your sins and invite Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, no matter what comes or what goes, your heart can be established, trusting in the Lord. And when this life is over, hallelujah. And when the battle's over, as the song says, we shall wear a crown. We will overcome. We will come through. And we'll be so glad we trusted Jesus. Well, our time is gone. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.